No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 19th day of August. It is so good to be here with each and every one of you, and I am honored to be on this spiritual journey with you, this biblical journey with you, whatever journey it is or whatever it is that you call showing up and being here. I am honored and humbled to be a part of it in this way, reading the Word of God and being a part of this big, beautiful, global campfire community as we celebrate 20 years. 20 years. Every day is a celebration because every day is the 20th year read by my husband Brian over at Daily Audio Bible. And if by some, I don't even know the word, if by some obscure reason that you're here and don't know about the Daily Audio Bible channel, I highly recommend checking out Daily Audio Bible. My husband, Brian, is drenched and so brilliant in the Word of God and how he has handled the Word of God cautiously, fearfully, reverently, faithfully. And as his wife, I can attest that it has been 20 years of still searching, still learning, still pursuing God through his word and understanding, knowledge, wisdom of God's word. So if you are not a double dabber, I strongly encourage you to do that. And then also our son Ezekiel, who has turned 13 this year, and with that turning, his voice has gone from Daily Audio Bible Kids to Daily Audio Bible. I don't know who you are right now. So there is a channel for kids as well where he is reading the Gospels of Jesus this year. So welcome. If you don't know about those things, I would just want you to know about those things because your life, your spiritual journey could be more rich by partaking and the wisdom and the knowledge from my husband over at Daily Audio Bible. We are breaking from Jeremiah today, back in the book of 2 Kings and then 2 Chronicles. We're going to read 2 Kings chapters 24 and 25 and then 2 Chronicles chapter 36. This week, we're reading the New English Translation. 2 Kings chapter 24. During Jehoiakim's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked. Jehoiakim was his subject for 3 years, but then he rebelled against him. The Lord sent against him Babylonian, Syrian, Moabite, and Ammonite raiding bands. He sent them to destroy Judah, just as the Lord's message that he had announced through his servants, the prophets. Just as the Lord had announced, he rejected Judah because of all the sins that Manasseh had committed, because he killed innocent people and stained Jerusalem with their blood. The Lord was unwilling to forgive them. The rest of the events of Jehoiakim's reign and all his accomplishments are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. He passed away, and his son Jehoiakim replaced him as king. The king of Egypt did not march out from his land again. For the king of Babylon conquered all the territory that the king of Egypt had formerly controlled between the stream of Egypt and the Euphrates River. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan, from Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord as his ancestors had done. At that time, the generals of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon marched to Jerusalem and besieged the city. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to the city while his generals were besieging it. King Jehoiakim of Judah, along with his mother, his servants, his officials, and his eunuchs, surrendered to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took Jehoiakim prisoner. Nebuchadnezzar took from there all the riches in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of the royal palace. He removed all the gold items that King Solomon of Israel had made for the Lord's temple, just as the Lord had warned. He deported all the residents of Jerusalem, including all the officials and all the soldiers, 10,000 people in all. This included all the craftsmen and those who worked with metal. No one was left except for the poorest among the people of the land. He deported Jehoiakim from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with the king's mother and wives, his eunuchs, and the high-ranking officials of the land. The king of Babylon deported to Babylon all the soldiers. There were 7,000, as well as 1,000 craftsmen and metal workers. This included all the best warriors. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in Jehoiakim's place. He renamed him Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Jehoiakim had done. What follows is a record of what happened to Jerusalem and Judah because of the Lord's anger. He finally threw them out of his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came against Jerusalem with his whole army and set up camp outside it. They built siege ramps all around it. He arrived on the 10th day of the 10th month in the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign. The city remained under siege until King Zedekiah's 11th year. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine in the city was so severe, the residents had no food. The enemy broke through the city walls, and all the soldiers tried to escape. They left the city during the night. They went through the gate between the two walls, which is near the king's garden. The Babylonians were all around the city. Then they headed for the Rift Valley, but the Babylonian army chased after the king. They caught up with him in the Rift Valley plains of Jericho, and his entire army deserted him. They captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where he passed sentence on him. Zedekiah's sons were executed while Zedekiah was forced to watch. The king of Babylon then had Zedekiah's eyes put out, bound him in bronze chains, and carried him off to Babylon. On the 7th day of the 5th month in the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, who served the king of Babylon, arrived in Jerusalem. He burned down the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and all the houses in Jerusalem, including every large house. The whole Babylonian army that came with the captain of the royal guard tore down the walls that surrounded Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, deported the rest of the people who were left in the city, those who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But he left behind some of the poor of the land and gave them fields and vineyards. The Babylonians broke the two bronze pillars in the Lord's temple, as well as the movable stands and the big bronze basin called the Sea. They took the bronze to Babylon. They also took the pots, shovels, trimming shears, pans, and all the bronze utensils used by the priests. The captain of the royal guard took the golden and silver censers and basins, the bronze of the items that King Solomon made for the Lord's temple, including the two pillars, the big bronze basin called the Sea, the 12 bronze bulls under the Sea, and the movable stands was too heavy to be weighed. Each of the pillars was about 27 feet high. The bronze top of one pillar was about 4.5 feet high and had bronze lattice work and pomegranate-shaped ornaments all around it. The second pillar with its lattice work was like it. The captain of the royal guard took Seraiah, the chief priests, and Zephaniah, the priest who was second in rank, and the three doorkeepers. From the city he took a eunuch who was in charge of the soldiers, five of the king's advisors who were discovered in the city, an official army secretary who drafted citizens for military service, and 60 citizens from the people of the land who were discovered in the city. Nebuzaradan, captain of the royal guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. The king of Babylon ordered them to be executed at Riblah in the territory of Hamath. So Judah was deported from its land. Now King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, as governor over the people whom he allowed to remain in the land of Judah. All the officers of the Judahite army and their troops heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah to govern. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The officers who came were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, son of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, son of the Maacathite. Gedaliah took an oath so as to give them and their troops some assurance of safety. He said, "You don't need to be afraid to submit to the Babylonian officials. Settle down in the land and submit to the king of Babylon. Then things will go well for you." But in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama, who was a member of the royal family, came with 10 of his men and murdered Gedaliah, as well as the Judeans and Babylonians who were with him at Mizpah. Then all the people, from the youngest to the oldest, as well as the army officers, left for Egypt because they were afraid of what the Babylonians might do. In the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim of Judah, on the 27th day of the 12th month, King Evil-Merodach of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, pardoned King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prestigious position than the other kings who were with him in Babylon. Jehoiakim took off his prison clothes and ate daily in the king's presence for the rest of his life. He was given daily provisions by the king for the rest of his life until the day he died. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The people of the land took Jehoiaz, son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoiaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. The king of Egypt prevented him from ruling in Jerusalem and imposed on the land a special tax of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. The king of Egypt made Jehoiaz's brother Eliakim king over Judah and Jerusalem and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Necho seized his brother Jehoiaz and took him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked him, bound him with bronze chains, and carried him away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar took some of the items in the Lord's temple to Babylon and put them in his palace there. The rest of the events of Jehoiakim's reign, including the horrible sins he committed and his shortcomings, are recorded in the scrolls of the kings of Israel and Judah. His son Jehoiakim replaced him as king. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. At the beginning of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered him to be brought to Babylon, along with the valuable items in the Lord's temple. In his place, Nebuchadnezzar made Jehoiakim's relative Zedekiah king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord's spokesman. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him vow allegiance in the name of God. He was stubborn and obstinate and refused to return to the Lord God of Israel. All the leaders of the priests and people became more unfaithful and committed the same horrible sins practiced by the nations. They defiled the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. The Lord God of their ancestors continually warned them through his messengers, for he felt compassion for his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his warnings, and ridiculed his prophets. Finally, the Lord got very angry at his people, and there was no one who could prevent his judgment. He brought against them the king of the Babylonians, who slaughtered their young men in their temple. He did not spare young men or women, or even the old and aging. God handed everyone over to him. He carried away to Babylon all the items in God's temple, whether large or small, as well as what was in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and in the treasuries of the king and his officials. They burned down God's temple and tore down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all its fortified buildings and destroyed all its valuable items. He deported to Babylon all who escaped the sword. They served him and his sons until the Persian kingdom rose to power. This took place to fulfill the Lord's message spoken through Jeremiah and lasted until the land experienced its sabbatical years. All the time of its desolation, the land rested in order to fulfill the 70 years. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in fulfillment of the Lord's message spoken through Jeremiah, the Lord motivated King Cyrus of Persia to issue a proclamation throughout his kingdom and also to put it in writing. It read, "This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Anyone of his people among you may go up there, and may the Lord, his God, be with him." This concludes the book of 2 Kings and the book of 2 Chronicles today. Let's just recap where we're at in the story. I'm going to pull again from the God of your story for today. In today's reading from 2 Kings, we read of the continued weakening of the kingdom of Judah and its eventual conquest by the Babylonians. Judah was taken into exile to Babylon, just as the northern kingdom of Israel had been exiled by the Assyrians. The repercussions of this exile cannot be overstated. The Babylonian conquest of Judah brought an end to the time that the children of Israel spent in the promised land under their own rule. A big piece of the story we began in Genesis 11 with Abraham ended today. Of course, this will not be the end of the tribe of Judah, nor will it be the last time Hebrews will be in the promised land. But when Jerusalem fell to Babylon, the city was destroyed, including Solomon's temple. The people were displaced altogether, and nothing would be the same again. The other day, Brian and I were able to take our son Ezekiel to our Tennessee State Museum, and we had this discussion on the way in about the rituals of our faith, the rituals of certain practices that different denominations would criticize against denomination to denomination. Why do they do this when don't they know that the Bible says this? And why do you not do this when the Bible says this? And we were just explaining that the rituals, when explained with the knowledge, the explanation of why we do them, we remember so that we don't forget. We remember so that we don't forget, so that mistakes do not continue to repeat, because history has only ever repeated itself. And so we had that discussion going in, and then on the way out, we were all just deeply saddened by the things in our history that have happened that nobody stopped, that the injustice of slavery took as long as it did to end, that people groups were forced out of land that was theirs and just stolen from, just taken and thrown aside, the injustices. And that if we don't continue to remember and teach these things, we can so easily have a tendency to repeat them. And all along the way, in these events of history, there are people who, with their pictures next to the events of those that started the movement and those that ended a movement, and very few people in between the beginning and the end. We have been in the story of the Old Testament, of the children of Israel, for most of the years so far. We have seen these lone voices crying out in a sea of oversaturation of evil. And we see how the majority of the people wanted those voices silenced and those people done away with, so that life could continue as they knew it and as they wanted it. And we can pull themes, all kinds of themes, from this ever-winding story of the children of Israel and their rebellion. And we can say that it's a story of coming back to God and His mercy, His infinite mercy, that welcomes them back at every turn. And we wouldn't be wrong. That wouldn't be wrong. We could say that it's a story of God's love for His children. Wouldn't be wrong. We could say it's a story about a covenantal relationship where one person of two parties kept their word. We wouldn't be wrong. But we cannot forget that this is also a theme and a story of God reminding the people, I told you to not forget when you got to where you were going and you lacked nothing. You lacked nothing because I kept my word. And the second you got what I promised you, you forgot where you came from. You forgot who I am. You forgot where I brought you from. You forgot to depend on me and to listen to me and to obey me. And when we forget, we become prideful. We become arrogant. We become self-righteous. We become know-it-alls. And we become dependent on our own self. We can turn it into entitled, lazy, self-righteous people. This is the part of the story of the children of Israel that we cannot forget. And maybe we have forgotten ourselves because somewhere along the way, we have turned our hearts to that entitlement, to that self-righteousness, to the expectancy that God owes us as His children. And what we should further remember is that no matter where we are, if we repent and come back, God is faithful and He is just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And we can turn from our ways. We can come back and we can see the marginalized. We can stand for justice. We can have a voice for the oppressed. We can care for the widow and the orphan and the foreigner in our strange land. And we can do the will of God. Jesus, may we never forget, so that we do not become just like the children of Israel, who are now exiled, who are now displaced, who are now where God told them they would be if they did not come back. May our hearts turn towards you with a heart of repentance. I pray this all in the mighty name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. Take a look around, download it, send it to a friend. If you would like to partner with us at Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you, especially in these summer months. And every log, every leaf, every piece of cardboard, every twig, it all keeps the fire burning. We thank you so much to be in this with us. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing your app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand section. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or you can utilize that app once again. Hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel over to chronological and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll continue in our reading tomorrow and begin a brand new book and finish it tomorrow as well, making our way out of the old into the new. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, Dabsy family. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and our King. I'm calling with a prayer request that's kind of urgent. My family and I are originally from Liberia, West Africa. But my parents have passed away, and my siblings and I live in outside of that country. This morning I received an urgent message stating that our inherited properties, which we have deeds for, are currently being sold by an external party who is in the business of selling other people's land when they're not in country. This is very sentimental. This is property inherited from my great grandfather. And so I'm just praying to God for wisdom, praying that we don't lose hope, that we don't lose faith, that we don't give up, but that God will let justice be done. I also pray for my heart that God will not carry any bitterness in my heart towards these people. Not sure why they're doing what they're doing, but just pray to God that in the process that I will not sin, that God will help us just bring justice for the benefit of all those concerned, in the best interest of all those concerned. Pray that God will protect us in the process. We're all girls, we're all women in a male-dominated environment in country. And so may God protect our inheritance, I pray. Thank you all for praying for me. I'm also grateful for this this line, this family. I continue to pray for you all. God bless.
Dabsy, good morning. This is Cynthia from upstate New York, and I'd like to pray for Susie as she is trying to work out a way to get to her sister who is in the process of transitioning. She has stage 4 cancer. I pray for the family, for Vince and for Joey, who are the family, the husband and son, who are in the process of just waiting for this to happen. I just pray for peace and comfort to them, Lord. And he's also dealing with his mother, who was just recently passed away a week ago. So there is so much probably emotions going on in that family. So Lord, just be with them at this time. I'd like to ask for prayer for my very good friend, Brenda. She was in dialysis for 20 years, which many say is unheard of. But Lord, you know what you're doing here. But currently she is experiencing some problems with her heart, and she has been placed in a drug-induced coma. As the doctors look for answers and how to proceed with this. So, Lord Jesus, I am asking for prayer, not only for my friend Brenda, who does know you, but I'm asking for prayer for all family who is coming alongside her, many who know you but are not walking with you. So, Lord Jesus, we know that there are teaching moments in everything that happens in life and even through possible death. So, Lord, we just ask that you please just speak to the children and these grandchildren who are coming in to see Brenda each day. Lord, help them to find some peace with what's going on, Lord Jesus, whether she come out of this or whether she transitions into your arms. But, Lord, I ask for prayer for them. For each of these children, these grandchildren, that they will somehow come to know you and they will lean on you for strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Tilly from Florida. I'm calling in on the 16th of August for Susie, who left a voicemail on the chronological line about wanting to go see her sister, who is got cancer. Susie, before I pray, the only thing I can suggest is that you maybe post a message on the prayer wall on Daily Audio Bible to see if somebody who is near you might can get in contact with you and give you a ride. Father God, I lift up Susie to you and I lift up her sister, Lord God. I ask that you would work your divine nature and provide a way for Susie's heart desire to go see her sister be fulfilled. I pray for her sister. I thank you for giving her peace during this time, when by all accounts she's going to be coming to see you soon. And that is bearing the confession from her sister that she is a born-again believer. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Susie, be encouraged and consider what I suggested. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless the communities, both DAB and DABC.